You are listening to Coach's Corner with John Anderson on the CompuSports Radio Network.
Welcome, everyone, to the Coach's Corner Radio Show on the CompuSports Radio Network. I'm your host, John Anderson, and today we have a special treat for you. This week we have author and just all-around nice guy, as well as a great offensive mind, Coach Andrew Coverdale from Trinity High School in Louisville, Kentucky. He's going to be our guest this week, and we're going to be talking the three-step passing game with spacing. And Coach Coverdale does a great job of laying this out for us in language that even I can understand. Andrew Coverdale on this week's Coach's Corner, next.
For over a quarter century, CompuSports has provided high-quality, easy-to-use coaching software to high school and college football coaches at prices that do an end-around on limited athletic budgets. Our EasyScout line of football scouting and video editing software improves the process of collecting, organizing, and analyzing information about the plays in a game, helping coaches save time while gaining a competitive edge. EasyScout products have always been easy to learn, easy to use, and built to adapt to a football coach's own terminology. The current version of the EasyScout Professional Scouting and Video Editing System delivers the kind of analysis and reporting capabilities that can cost up to five times as much. CompuSports EasyScout software, because game day is only part of your job.
Listening to Coach's Corner with John Anderson on the CompuSports Radio Network.
This segment of Coach's Corner is sponsored by CompuSports, publisher of the EasyScout Professional, an affordable all-in-one football scouting and editing program. EasyScout Professional, available at CompuSports.com. My guest today is pretty well known in the football world, and we're just absolutely tickled pink to have him. For those of you folks who may not have heard this gentleman, he's been around a little bit. He's written a number of books with his cohort, Dan Robinson. Welcome to Coach's Corner, Coach Andrew Coverdale. Coach, welcome to Coach's Corner.
Thanks, John. It's a real privilege to be part of this.
Now, let's talk a little bit about your background, because I think that's pretty important in this the overall scheme of things. You've spent a lot of time in Indiana.
Right.
You were in Kokomo. At a little school up there, or I probably should say it's a big school up there. You were at Northwestern.
Yes,
And you also spent time at Taylor University. Mm-hmm. And you are right now at Trinity High School, I believe outside of Louisville, Kentucky. Is that right?
Yeah, on the east side of Louisville. That's right.
So you've got a lot of coaching experience. You've written several books, one of which, The Bunch Attack, Using Compressed Formations in the Passing Game, which I believe came out in 1997. Then you came out with a three-volume series on football's quick passing game in 1998. That had to have been a colossal writing and editing experience.
Well, that whole story is interesting because that came out of the year that I worked with Dan Robinson, and I didn't even have a full-time teaching job at the time, so I was substitute teaching and just sort of learning football from Dan, because Dan had a very all-encompassing vision of the game and of the field, and it's certainly one of the primary learning experiences of my life, just that time we spent together. And the book itself, we never set out to write a book. We just had some access to some things Joe Gibbs and some things Ralph Regan was doing with the Chargers at the time, and we just decided that off-season, after I believe it was maybe the 94 football season, we wanted to research the bunch and see how it fit into what we were doing at Northwestern. So it just sort of grew from there. It certainly, like I said, our intent was not originally to write a book. It was our intent to see how this worked for us, what the possibilities were, and as it grew, then the whole book thing sort of came into focus. And obviously, the great thing about that was the number of people we met just through talking about the book, and a lot of the relationships we built date back to that book. So that's the that's the legacy of the book that I'm most grateful for, is just the people I got to meet in the profession, and it it opened up a lot of learning opportunities for me as well, and for Dan.
When you went to edit the book, did it occur to you that this thing was going to be much bigger than you ever anticipated as far as the length?
Well, I think that's a product of the system that Dan created, and what I mean by that is that because of the way he thinks and sees the field, this idea had a lot of headroom in which to grow. And so the interesting thing is that outside of the what we called the mesh route, there were no new actual concepts that we introduced into Dan's offense. We just took things that were already there in the Northwestern High School inventory and reapplied them and said, how does it look in this environment? Where does it give us advantages? Where does it create matchups? So I think the fact that it got so big is more a tribute to Dan and the system he set up than anything else. But no, I mean, I was a 25-year-old kid just kind of doing a chapter at a time when I could. It never occurred to me how it would impact things in the long haul or how big it would get or anything like that.
You're going to be speaking in Hartford, Connecticut, February 4th and 5th, the Nike Coach of the Year Clinic up there.
Right.
In the next week or so. Do you have any engagements scheduled after that folks can come and check you out?
No, that's it. That's all I've got going this off season. A really great friend that I met by the name of Frank D'Amelio runs the Hartford, Connecticut clinic, and I've just met so many great people and terrific coaches up in the New England area through doing that clinic several different years now, and he was gracious enough to have me back up. So I'll be up there for that this year, but outside of that, I don't have anything else going on this offseason.
All right, let's go ahead and get back to Trinity High School. What is your position up there right now at Trinity High School?
I'm the offensive coordinator, and it's a very unique situation. I'm incredibly blessed because of the school environment. We are an all-boys parochial high school of about 1,300 kids, and football is very important where we are. There's an incredible tradition that goes all the way back to the early 1950s that sort of predates and is bigger than all of us. I work for a head coach by the name of Bob Beatty, who is a tremendous offensive mind in his own right, and we've developed through the years, this is my ninth year working for him, we've developed a really dynamic working relationship where I think we make each other better on a daily basis, and he's given me a lot of freedom to explore ideas and push the boundaries a little bit and experiment and try and put our kids in a good position, and we've had a lot of really exceptional athletes that have made those ideas come to life, and so I couldn't ask for a much better situation than what I'm in, because my head coach takes on a lot of the, you know, he takes all the administrative responsibilities and really frees me up to coach and work with the assistants on the offensive side of the ball who are fantastic themselves. So I don't know that I could ask for a better setup, honestly.
All right, we're going to come back in the next segment. We're going to be talking spacing in the short passing game with Coach Andrew Coverdale. More after this.
Easy Cut from CompuSports is a fast and enjoyable way to edit and analyze your game videos. Watch entire games on your computer, then label and index plays with a click of a mouse. Copy scenes to CD, DVD, or a memory stick, and upload to online video sharing sites like YouTube. Search and sort plays by keywords, then pause, restart, rewind, and even watch frame by frame for fast and detailed video analysis. EasyCut is compatible with XP, Vista, and Windows 7. Download the 21-day free trial now or order on CD and discover how easy it is to start analyzing your game videos today.
CompuSports Radio Network.
This segment of Coach's Corner is sponsored by CompuSports, publisher of the EasyCut video editing software program. EasyCut works for any sport and starts at just $195. EasyCut, the affordable video editing software available at CompuSports.com. We're back with Coach Andrew Coverdale from Trinity High School in East Louisville, Kentucky, and the coach is about to educate me on spacing in the short passing game, because my experience would probably be, hey, you line up over there and you go over by the curb and cut across at the Oldsmobile and I'll hit you before you get to Mr. Stanley's house. And they would probably turn left and run into a tree. But that's okay. Coach Coverdale's going to straighten me out here. So, Coach, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Well, it's an interesting evolution in our three-step thought process. And when Dan and I, when I first learned really the heart of a comprehensive three-step throwing game with Dan Robinson, most of our routes revolved around mirrored concepts. In other words, if you had a hitch and a seam on one side, you'd have a hitch and a seam on the other, and the quarterback could pick the best side and then go from there. And that's sort of how we started out. Then the next evolution was to take different quick passing game concepts that beat different coverages and put them on opposite sides. So now you had multiple ways to beat different coverages. So, for example, if two hitches on one side might be where you tell your quarterback to go against a single high defense or against cover three, and then perhaps you would build in double slants or a fade and a flat to the other side of the formation to beat cover two type defenses. And that gave us more flexibility. So that was the next evolution. But what we've gone to beyond those things is we've taken our quick passing game, whether we have in mind a single quick route like a hitch or a quick out or a slant or a combination of routes, and we have gone to something where we marry whatever that is, single route or dual route, with spacing on the backside. And where this has its historical roots, as far as I can tell, is with Bill Walsh and with Jerry Rice, because Jerry Rice was such a cut above all the other people he was playing against that the ultimate thing for them to do would be to get him in a one-on-one situation, especially a slant route. Any of us that grew up in the 80s can recall highlights of Jerry Rice taking a slant and breaking the length of the field because he was so dynamic. And so what the 49ers would do is they would call, for example, 300 Jet X slant, which was a slant to Jerry Rice, but they would tell the guys away from the slant call, rather than running a slant of their own or rather than running some other combination of routes, to get themselves open using good spacing. And so that's sort of where the concept, as far as I can tell, originated, and it's been a staple in all of the so-called Walsh derivative West Coast offenses since. And where I was first exposed to it was by just a fantastic coach named Scott Leffler, whom I met when he was recruiting one of our kids back in 2002 or so. So the idea for us now is that we are going to call an individual three-step route. And generally for us, that would boil down to either a hitch or a slant, perhaps a five-yard in. We've also used a fade stop. But whatever it is, we're going to take our best guy most of the time and put him on a single receiver side away from some detachment of three receivers. And those three receivers can come in all shapes and sizes. There can be three true wideouts spread out. There can be three true wideouts bunched up. It can be a tight end and two receivers. It can be two tight ends and a receiver. It could be a tight end and a fullback and a receiver. But the starting point for us is that as a defense, you're going to have to decide how you defend our individual guy. And specifically, are you going to defend him in such a way that he is essentially isolated on the corner? Or is your defensive structure going to be established in such a way that you have help for your corner? And by help, I mean either an end clicking out into coverage and getting underneath certain routes, or an outside linebacker who's prepared to buzz the flat area very quickly, or a rotating safety. So you're going to make one of those two choices defensively, and that's going to predicate where we go. And our thinking is, number one, generally in high school, you may have one gifted receiver, but you generally don't have two. There have been exceptions to that for us, but we clearly have a guy right now in our program that's somebody we'd like to get the ball to as many times as possible. And so for us, having a spacing concept where he is always the first read gives us a pretty good chance to do that more often than we would. So you want to highlight that one guy if you're in high school ball, and you want to get him the ball as many different ways as you can and clean up the thought process for the quarterback in doing so. So spacing is a great vehicle to do that. The other thing that we found is now your other average receivers, whether they're tight ends or whether they're H-backs or whether they're other just slower receivers, on the spacing side, they can be more effective because what we're saying to the defense is if you leave our best receiver one-on-one, we're throwing in the ball one way or another. If you don't, if you roll your structure, if you boss your linebackers, if you rotate your coverage in such a way that you're going to have a two-on-one on our best guy, now all of a sudden our three average high school receivers that may run 5.1s, that may run 4.9s, that may not have great flexible hips, those guys are now empowered now because they're going to be in a three-on-two situation against underneath coverage. And so we've not only accentuated the strength of our best guy by putting him in the best chance to win and get the ball, we've also made our average kids more dynamic because the spacing side is something that can be mastered with great technique and doesn't require a whole great lot of physical upside. So we like that part of it. The other thing that we like, and I'll talk a little bit about the quarterback mechanics, is for us, both sides of the play are now alive for the entire duration of the play. And so if you think back to what I talked about in terms of how we started out at Northwestern High School, if we had a mirrored combination of hitches and seams, our quarterback could make a good decision pre-snap, but the moment the ball is snapped, one of those sides is dead, not working for you anymore. The same thing was true when we used our so-called dual side quicks, where one side has one combination, one side has the other. He's going to pick a certain combination, but the moment the ball snapped, the combination that he doesn't pick is dead. It's no longer working. With spacing now, what we do is we create an entirely live field, and we think that puts a lot more stress on the defense, and we also think that it leads to a lot greater efficiency because we don't have to be perfect as play callers, and our quarterback doesn't have to be perfect as far as execution. We started a sophomore quarterback this year, which with our schedule is not an easy thing to do. But he ended up being about a 71% completion guy, and this was what he did best because it gave him lots of ways to win, and he didn't have to be perfect initially on the snap of the ball. What we're going to be talking about here a little bit is two different rhythms, and that's where when you put spacing on the backside of your quicks rather than mirroring it or rather than dual siding, as I talked about, you build in, in a sense, two different rhythms to the throwing game because the front side or the one receiver side where you're putting your best guy to run a hitch or a slant or a quick out or a stop or a fade, that is a three-step rhythm side. The side away from the individual receiver where the spacing is going on, that is really a five-step rhythm side. So in reality, you get two leases on life when you call spacing. You have a three-step thought, and if that wins, great. We take an easy completion to probably our best cat. If not, we reset ourselves in the pocket, and now we start to work that spacing side, and there are lots of different ways to win over there. I was not sold that a high school quarterback could do this until 2006. We used to read it different, but now every guy all throughout our program, right down to the freshman, literally will work across the field from the individual side all the way back to the spacing side, and it's something that we build in from day one. So that's sort of the concept of it. We're going to have an individual side, a one-on-one side where our best guy is running some route that's appropriate to what he's getting out of the cornerback, and we're going to have a side on the backside that's known as spacing. And to better describe the spacing side, what I could say is you can do it a lot of different ways, but what you want at the end of the day is that by the time the quarterback would come off of the individual side, whether the individual side has a hitch, a slant, really doesn't matter, you want those guys spaced apart, just like you would want a good basketball team to have good spacing in their half-court offense. You want them spaced apart 6 to 8 yards deep and 6 to 8 yards
laterally separated from each other, so that two short defenders, two linebackers, a safety and a linebacker, whomever the case may be, so they can't cover the your three guys. Now, our original rules for teaching a spacing side is that we have the inside receiver run a six-yard sit over the ball, and he's told to not avoid contact with the inside linebacker. If the inside linebacker wants to engage him, that's fine. He's going to fight through the contact, rip through it. Scott Leffler uses the term get big in the paint. He wants to give eyes to the quarterback. He does not have freedom to work back outside. He can work a little inside if it means getting into an open hole. But he's going to post up whatever defender he finds and try and get open. The outside receiver is going to run what we call a mini curl. Some people call it a short hook or a snag route. And basically, he's going to push past the first level of defense, run a slant course on a 45-degree angle, get inside the flat defender. He's going to take whatever angle gets him inside the flat defender, and then he's going to hook up and present his numbers to the quarterback. He does have freedom to work inside or out, total freedom. Our middle receiver, or in some cases the back out of the backfield, depending on the structure of the formation, will work his way to the flat. In high school ball, we want him to get to the bottom of the numbers and flip his hips. He wants to be about 4 yards deep, so he's a little bit of an exception to the depth that we want the other two guys that were in the sit is about six. The mini curl is 7 to 8. That arrow rattle tend to be more along the lines of 4 yards deep. But the big thing you have with all those guys on the spacing side is you have stationary targets. So as the quarterback goes through his thought process, and if he decides that he can't win on the individual side, he now, as he works back to the spacing side, this is what allows it to happen. He has stationary targets now. So if we were asking a quarterback to work across the field and throw to guys on the move, I don't think that would be practical. But because we're asking him to throw to guys who are working into zones and stationary targets, now it becomes a very efficient way to throw the football. And so what we tell our quarterback is, and I'll talk a little more about that in a moment, but what we tell our quarterback is, in terms of reading the spacing side, you go from one target to another, but you don't make a decision on whether they're open or not. You either see their eyes or you don't. So as he works his eyes across from the sit to the mini curl to the arrow, if a guy's giving him eye contact, he knows that means he's open, so he throws in the ball. If not, then he goes to the next target. So that's the philosophical starting point. If you like, John, I can certainly get into the quarterback mechanics and how he marries his footwork to all this, but that the basic idea is to isolate a guy one-on-one, and if you over-rotate your defense, either with some kind of extra personnel to bracket or help on that one-on-one, then we're going to have answers in terms of three stationary receivers on a spacing side that the quarterback can work back to.
Coach, this sounds like a lot of great stuff, and I'm really looking forward to see what you've got in the next segment as well. We're talking with Coach Andrew Coverdale. You're listening to Coach's Corner on the CompuSports Radio Network.
For those of you still with us, I'm just going to introduce you to this band here from Mississippi. This is Seismic Anomaly in a tune called Walking the Line. Back with more Coach Coverdale in just a moment.
Without you. about you.
I can't stand
to start over.
I can't stand
to start over.
I can't stand
to start over
without you.
CompuSports Radio Network.
This segment of Coach's Corner is sponsored by CompuSports, distributor of the Playmaker Pro and Coach's Office Playbook software packages, available at CompuSports.com. We're talking with Coach Andrew Coverdale. We've covered in the first segment a lot of great stuff that he's done and some of the stuff he's doing. In the second segment, we've talked about mirrored concepts and conceptualizing some of the different things that they're doing here. And now we're going to turn the floor back over to Coach Coverdale and just let him rock and roll. So, Coach, the floor is yours.
Thanks, John. So, as we approach our individual route, what we want, we've done this different ways, but generally speaking, we're going to give the quarterback and the individual receiver some options, a menu, so that they can work together and have a route on that best fits the cornerback they're trying to defeat. So generally speaking, if we know you're in an off coverage type concept, we'd like to run a hitch or maybe a 5 yard in. If you're in more of a press inside out man, we like our fade and fade stop thoughts there, and potentially the 5 yard in depending on the matchup, against what we call a cloud corner, which is 4 yards or tighter with outside leverage is in a cover two type shell. That's when we like to go to the slant. So they're going to have some choices. If the quarterback sees, the terms we use, we borrowed from Steve Kragthorpe, we use the term clean and dirty to describe the single receiver side in terms of whether there's help on him or not. So a clean side means that no matter what the corner's doing, no matter whether he's off or press or cloud, there's no help readily available. A dirty side would mean that there's somebody there. There's either a rotating safety or a walked-out defensive end or a linebacker, whatever have you. So that terminology is going to be the first thing in the quarterback's mind as he goes to the line of scrimmage. And assuming it's a clean side, then he's going to ask himself if the route that we have called in the huddle best matches the corner. So if we have a hitch on and it's clean, is the corner off enough for us to successfully throw that hitch? If not, he and the receiver will work a hand signal system to get us into the best route. If it's dirty, it doesn't really matter what he does. He won't worry as much about the individual throw because he knows that he's not going to probably go there with the ball. So that enables us to be a lot more technique efficient with what we do because we're not trying to throw every individual route against every conceivable type of corner. We're going to let those guys mix and match. And the beauty about having, just to jump off the individual side for a second, I think the most important thing that happens in this process is the quarterback doesn't feel like he has to be absolutely perfect because there's always spacing on the backside. Sean Payton once said that spacing is the second read to everything. And so because the quarterback knows that on the backside he has three guys working to open grass on stationary but working type routes, he doesn't get flustered if the cornerback disguises, for example. Let's say we thought we had an off corner and wanted to throw the hitch, and on the snap of the ball, that corner buzzes down, presses, and jams him, and the hitch isn't good anymore. Or let's say the receiver doesn't do a very good job at the top of his route getting open. Or whatever the case might be, he doesn't feel like he has to make a perfect throw or create the action on the front side because there's always spacing. There's always a second lease on life. And so I think as a result of that, that's one of the reasons that our kids typically have not thrown a lot of interceptions because they're not trying to make a play happen. All your good quarterbacks are competitors. But if they know they have somewhere else where they can win, they're much more likely to make good decisions and not be as frustrated with the sky. So right away, we've taken a lot of the uncertainty that you typically have of route conversions and those kind of issues. We've taken a lot of those negative plays out of the picture because we're going to have a way to choose the best route and give ourselves the best percentage. But if that doesn't work out, there's always spacing. And that that idea is pounded into their head from day one.
All right, if I can interject a question here for just a second. From just the stuff that you have gone over and the different items and the categorization, what kind of practice time are you looking for just this concept?
Well, because it encompasses our entire three-step throwing game, it's significant, but it's very efficient time because the backside of our 90s are always the same. I would say it's significant, but it doesn't dominate your time. I mean, there's still plenty of other things we do. We still have a pretty robust play-action game and a half-roll game and a screen game that we invest a lot of time in. So once they've mastered, I guess the thing I would say is once they've mastered the fundamentals of how to make the decision clean or dirty and how to work themselves open on the spacing side and how to work the individual routes, then you can mix and match a lot of different ways without adding new skills. So
this actually,
we feel like we get pretty good bang for our buck doing this.
So this is something you actually teach as a concept from day one?
Yes. Yeah, that's right. This is our quick passing game. That's how it's done. Whenever we call a quick pass, there's spacing on the backside.
Now, I know you've heard this next question. I've heard this question, or actually this statement. When somebody says, yeah, we have a quick passing game. We got a slant. We got a hitch. We got a fade. But I think coaches have gone much farther than that.
Right.
You have put together entire offenses just built around a three-step passing game in a lot of cases. But where do you see this going?
Well, I mean, I think some of it depends on the skill set of your kids, and some of it depends on the how you're being defended and so on like that. Once you understand the thought of spacing, we have a whole other set of things we do with big spacing. So, in other words, we can take some of our five-step game, not all of it, but certain parts of it, and put just deeper spacing on the backside so that there's a lot of carryover, because conceptually it's the same, you're just doing it at different depths. I mean, we'll use double move thoughts either out of our three or five step passing game, and as long as our kids understand that there's spacing on the backside, all the mechanics stay the same for the quarterback. So I don't think it's all encompassing, but I think in high school it's pretty, there's just a lot you can do with it once you get the quarterback tuned in to, this is my front side decision, this is how I make it, this is how my feet marry to that, and then if it doesn't go right on the front side, here's the procedure for working the backside. Once that gets ingrained in him, there's not a lot of limits on what you can do.
You were talking about individual routes.
Right.
How do you get your individual routes to work within this concept?
We do a lot of routes on air. And so each route has its own technique and its own depth. But again, we don't have to work it against every single kind of corner because, for example, if you're an off corner, we're not going to spend a lot of time teaching a fade route against an off corner. So we limit some of the technique we've got to use. Quarterback understands that each quick route has a certain drop rhythm attached to it. We practice that rhythm both under and gun. We have a three quick drop, where they take one big step and two quick ones, and then the ball is thrown without any kind of hitch-up. And then we have what we call a rhythm three, which is two big steps and one small step at 75%. So your hitches and your timing routes tend to work off that three quick rhythm, where our five-yard end may work off the rhythm three, which is a little slower. So the quarterbacks from day one are calibrating their feet to know how to work with each of the individual routes. So if they've decided, for example, that it's clean on the front side and they've chosen their individual, they use the correct drop to throw that individual, and the individual doesn't happen for some reason because he's just not open, or a guy that you didn't think was dropping into coverage is dropping into coverage. Whatever the case might be, when that happens, now our footwork is to reset for depth, which means just the slightest depth step to get his hips realigned. And now as he resets for depth, he'll start to work from the sit to the mini curl to the arrow. But it all starts with the idea of calibrating your feet to be married up with how quick your individual route's going to break open. And our head coach does a really good job of structuring practice so that we get a ton of reps. There are a lot of balls in the air. There's not any wasted time. And I just think that piling those reps on the kids' legs in a positive, focused manner is a big part of that.
We're talking with Coach Andrew Coverdale here on Coach's Corner, and we've been talking a lot of spacing and individual routes and mirrored routes and conceptualized routes, and routes is not routes, so trust me on that. You're listening to Coach's Corner on the CompuSports Radio Network. More Coach Coverdale after this.
If you have material in book form or article form or a video, maybe you've just got a souped-up PowerPoint presentation and you'd like to come on the program, you can email me at john@compusportsradio.com and we'll talk some football. That's John, J-O-H-N, at compusportsradio.com. In the meantime, here's Mainstream South from Jacksonville, Florida, for the next 25, 30 seconds or so.
Listening to Coach's Corner with John Anderson on the CompuSports Radio Network.
We're talking with Coach Andrew Coverdale here on Coach's Corner, and we've just had a great time just listening to one of the small facets of the passing game, and Coach Coverdale's done a great job of expanding upon it and bringing a little bit of clarity and just giving us a little bit of an insight as to how complex but yet simple these things actually can be. So we're going to turn the floor back over to Coach Coverdale, and we're going to let him rock and roll once more, sir. So the floor is now yours.
Great. So the quarterback pre-snap, his first decision that he has to make is whether the individual side is clean with no help or dirty, where there is some kind of help on the individual. And once he's made that decision, if it's clean, he assesses what kind of route he wants the individual guy to have. And we'll pre-call a route. So he has a starting point that he always has the freedom to change that if he doesn't like what he sees. And then if it is clean, he's going to have footwork that's married to that individual route with a reset for depth at the end of it if the individual doesn't win. So he's then able to work the spacing side of the route. If pre-snap, he knows it's dirty. So there's already help in the alley, you might say, in between the tackle and the individual route. If it's dirty pre-snap, then he knows right away that his footwork will go to 5 quick steps if we're under center, or 3 quick steps if we're in gun. The other thing that he'll do if the individual side is dirty is he will make a conscious effort on those 3 or 5 quick steps to stare down the individual receiver for 2 reasons. Number one, if the defender that's making the individual side dirty were happen to blitz, he could then abort his drop theoretically and give the ball to the individual route. But more importantly, he is now moving defenders with his eyes. And the longer we've gone with this concept, the more specific we've been about how we try to train our quarterback's eyes and moving defenders and not staring guys down. So he has to understand if it is a dirty side individually, he's still going to eye down the individual route so as to try and get his spacing side more open by moving underneath defenders that way. So at the end of his quick 5 or quick 3, he's just simply going to look for an eye fix from the sit route over the ball. And if he can see eye contact, he's going to give that guy the ball. If his sit route's in relatively clean air, he'll put it on the shoulder pad away from pressure so he can turn and gain yardage, splitting the defense north and south. If the throw is going to be contested a little bit, then he's going to put the ball in the sit route's gut so we get the completion. If the sit route isn't available, then he just sits on his back leg, pivots his hips, closes his hips to the mini curl. Same thought. If he gets eyes, he gives him the ball. same kind of landmarks for where he wants the ball. And if that doesn't happen, then he'll shuffle his feet laterally just with a we call it a quick escape, Scott Leffler term. Two quick shuffles essentially where his hips stay loaded to the target and he creates a little momentum toward the arrow route and puts the ball right on the face of the arrow route is the thought process. Again, the big thing for the quarterback is he doesn't have to be perfect. He doesn't have to force the ball because there's always more options. And so that is a mechanic that we practice over and over and over again, and it stays consistent no matter what we have going on the front side. And once he understands how to work that clean, dirty dynamic, marry his footwork correctly, work the whole progression, then we can do just about anything we want to on the front side. And the starting point we've talked about here is just an individual route, but you could do it with a combination of two routes and still have three guys working the spacing side on the backside. You could do it with deeper routes. You can do it with double moves. There's really no limit to what you can do once he understands and has drilled those mechanics.
With everything that you've talked about here, let's take a second and talk about protection from the guise of being under center versus shotgun. Does your protection change, or do the angles of your protection change at all?
No, but there are a couple things you have to think about, and this is where we try and tailor it a little bit to a quarterback's preference. Number one, whether we're gun or under center, you can't treat this protection-wise like a traditional three-step drop, because sometimes in traditional three-step drop you want to cut guys. But because this always has built in the potential of turning into five-step rhythm, you have to keep guys up, can't cut. So that's the first thing. Some of our quarterbacks have liked doing this better from under center. Some have liked doing it better from gun. The thing you get that's a little stronger when you're under center is that you can work your eyes a little bit more. Because you're not having to look at a snap, you have that extra time to work defenders underneath defenders with your eyes. And some of our guys have liked that. But as far as the protection angles go, not a lot really changes. The one thing I would say is sometimes we want on the spacing side, we'll have the running back going to end up being the arrow or the swing. He's going to be the last guy into the route, the last read. A lot of times off of a check release. Out of shotgun, you can get him out a little quicker because he's offset, obviously, whereas under center, he doesn't tend to be offset. So that's one potential consideration. We are a half-man, half-slide protection team, and generally speaking, we start out with the slide side going to the individual and the back working away from it on the man side. But the protection angles themselves haven't changed a bunch, whether we've been shotgun or under. And this year we dabbled just a little bit in the pistol, and it all held up. We haven't had any major concerns going from one to the other.
X's and O's aside, let's just talk Andrew Coverdale for a second. How do you mentally prepare for the week going into it? Win, lose, or draw?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think if you're talking about game night, we've done in the tradition of learning from Coach Walsh, we've really taken that idea of openers and run with it. And sometime Wednesday night, I'll go back and start assessing the things that have been best for us during the practice week. And a lot of times that involves a conversation with our quarterback saying, what do you like? What are you most comfortable with? And look to establish a certain rhythm early in the game. And so Thursday, our kids will rehearse those openers. We'll walk through them again Friday. So early on, they should be executing plays that are a real comfort zone for them. And we're becoming more and more personnel-driven in the sense that in those openers, we want certain guys to touch the ball a certain number of times. So that's created a lot of peace of mind for me early on, that we have some pretty good calls that our kids are going to execute pretty fast. And so then I just let our other coaches do their homework. And I have certain things that I want from them during the game, and they know it, and that steers us with where we go with the plan from there. Because mostly I'm just trying to keep us in rhythm and call plays. So, but the openers has given me great peace of mind because our kids tend to respond pretty well to, and we don't always go straight down them, but they kind of, they're executing things that they've done multiple times. So that's been the biggest thing for us.
Well, Coach, it's been a pleasure to have you on here, and you've just filled my brain with a number of things that I'm sure that, and to all of our listeners, that they can take and next year implement possibly, or maybe even some parts of it.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. I hope this is helpful. It's hard to, there's so many different variables with it, and I've learned so much from so many different guys. Sometimes it's kind of hard to condense it, but this approach to this part of our game has certainly been helpful, and it's something we like to talk about because, as we showed this year, it's adaptable to all different experience levels, and it's been really good to us.
Well, Coach, it was great to have you on here, and I'd like to extend the invitation right now to have you come back on here at a later time.
Great. I would love that, John. It's been a pleasure. The game's given an awful lot to me, and if there's any tiny infinitesimal way I can give back even a percentage of what I've been given, it's an honor. It's a heck of a profession that we get to be a part of.
Thank you, sir, again for coming back on. For the rest of you, some final thoughts coming up right after this.
A big thank you to Andrew Coverdale for coming on to the program and spending so much time with us and explaining this concept of spacing in the three-step passing game. For more information on Coach Coverdale, he co-wrote a couple of books with Dan Robinson, one of which is The Bunch Attack Using Compressed Formations in the Passing Game, and the other is Football's Quick Passing Game, and there's three volumes in that one. Both of those are available at Coach's Choice. February 4th and 5th, Coach Coverdale will be in Hartford, Connecticut at the Coach of the Year Clinic up there. And for those of you up there in the Northeast, that should be a worthwhile event. Also, on our next Coach's Corner, we'll be talking with Assistant Coach Thomas Holcomb out of Ozark, Alabama. And we're going to be talking about putting together a multiple offense, and that should be a lot of fun. And then scheduled later, we're going to have Head Coach Shane Laws out of Asheville, North Carolina at A.C. Reynolds High School. We're going to be talking the spread offense as they run it at A.C. Reynolds. Coach's Corner is an Abundant Harvest production on the CompuSports Radio Network. I'm John Anderson. I'll see you next time.